Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap the Thunder's 140-103 loss to the Phoenix Suns on Friday night. It was a blowout loss. The Thunder got down huge early, 43-13 in the first quarter. The tone was set from the opening tip when DeAndre Ayton tapped it to Chris Paul. Chris Paul throws an alley-oop to Ayton, and the Suns are off and running. We'll get to the Suns' domination and what led to that. But Barry, even in the loss, a bit of history in this one. Tao Maladon had a career-high 33 points. Alexei Pokuševski had 20 points. And according to the Thunder's PR staff, they are the first duo in NBA history under 20 years old to score at least 20 points in the same game, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, it is, considering how young some of those early Thunder teams were.
Yeah.
Both guys are rookies, which you'd expect two 19-year-olds to be rookies. But for such a one-sided affair, there was some interesting silver linings there. In some ways, it's another good game, one of those perfect games for the Thunder where they get the loss, but lots of things to sort of be excited about with Maladon and Poku.
Yeah, the ultimate focus on the future game. Lottery odds and two 19-year-olds.
Yeah, so I was very impressed. Of course, everybody's talking about Maladon, but I thought early in the game, Poku was – he wasn't keeping them afloat because they got down 33-9 or whatever it was. But it was actually 37-9 at one point. But – I thought Poku was pretty good when things were rotten. He was sort of the only guy on the squad doing much of anything.
Yeah, he got off to a really good start.
Yeah, let's see, first quarter. The Thunder scored 13 points, which is absurd on the surface. But Poku had 5 points, 2 of 5, and he had an assist. They had only had 3 assists. So, and then in the second quarter, he had a nice quarter. He has 7 points and 2 assists. So, he was pretty solid. Now, he got a little sloppy as the game went on, and didn't we all? But as great as Maladon was, I thought, what about Poku? It was pretty solid.
It was one of Poku's better games. I thought the passes – he only had, 4 assists in this one, but I thought the passes were the most impressive part of his game. He had a couple really nice driving kicks. One of them was to Maladon for a 3-pointer. He's getting better. So getting to that mid-range spot, he had a bank shot. He had a nice floater. Poku, he continues to look more comfortable. And then Maladon was just superb. He was horrible early. And remember, he did not shoot the ball well against the Raptors either. I think he was 0-4 in the first quarter. And then in the second quarter, he had 16 points on 6-7 shooting. His only miss in the second quarter was a heave from half court to try to beat the buzzer. If not for that, he would have had a perfect quarter. And then, his previous career high was 24 points, 33 in this one on 10 of 18 shooting, 5 of 7 from 3, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. And some of those threes were from the top of the arc. They weren't, just corner threes that were set up. He was initiating those on his own, those above the break threes. And some of them were pretty deep. We've seen him flash his shooting ability, but he was really locked in after the first quarter.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, not just making threes, but the range of his threes was very impressive. And I guess I was as impressed with him tonight as much as I have been all year, just from a standpoint of the Thunder was playing a really high-level team that's really gelled, and it sort of exposed this roster for what it is. When you play the Raptors or the T-Wolves, a team that's just sort of floundering, doesn't really care. A lot of things fall through the cracks. Nothing falls through the cracks when you're playing a team like the Suns, the way they're playing.
No.
And I thought that Tao Maladon was one of the few, and maybe the only one, that really looked like he belonged on the court, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, he looked like, well, at one point I thought it looked to me like, you know what, the only way we can even stay in this game, and I don't mean win it, I mean not get beat 160-47, was I'm just going to have to score every time. He looked like the best player on a severely outmanned team, which tonight he was.
Yeah, exactly. He really was. And you're going to see him take on a bigger load offensively, sort of generating offense for others and for himself, while Shai Gilgeous-Alexander remains out at least for another couple of weeks, perhaps through the end of the season. So big minutes for Maladone going forward. The rest of the starters, Barry, were not very good. Isaiah Roby was 1 of 6. Moses Brown was 0 of 4. He had 1 point and 7 rebounds. Svi Mihailuk, did not notice him much out there. He was 2 of 7, 0 of 4 from three. All obviously because the Thunder lost by 37 points, everyone was minus 1,000. But you know, the starting group outside of the two rookies just didn't do a whole heck of a lot.
No, you know, and Kenrich Williams always, you know, makes himself useful to some degree, but it looked to me like as I was watching this game, I thought, you know, there's really four levels of NBA teams at this point in a season. There's teams that are good talent wise and teams that are not good talent wise. And there are teams that are good mentally, in terms of they're still in there trying hard and playing hard, and there's teams that's not. And you know, the Thunder's one of those teams that has very little talent going on, but is trying hard. We know, we've talked it ad nauseum about the teams that's not trying hard. Tonight, the Thunder found what it's like, and the schedule's been pretty easy, frankly, in the month of March. Thunder was reintroduced to the notion of a really good team that's zoned in and playing hard and playing, you know, mentally tough. So the discrepancy between the best teams in the league and the Thunder is very vast. It's quite vast.
Boy, the Suns really impressed me tonight. I mean, Chris Paul was fantastic. He was 8 of 8, 17 points, 12 assists, 5 rebounds. Let's just single him. Booker was great as well, but let's just single Chris Paul out because we had the pleasure of watching him every game last year. And he was perfect tonight, at least shooting wise, and just put on a clinic.
Can the Thunder have that trade back? You sure it's a good idea to trade Chris Paul?
We've talked about that. Well, I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast.
But no, we talked about it in the staff meeting.
Yeah.
To me, the whole point of having an NBA team is to try to get players like Chris Paul. And just because he turns out, you know, he's 35 years old, turns out that might not be the greatest reason. Now, I realize he's making a ton of money. He's not going to be great forever. Maybe what I'm really asking is, I got a question for you.
Part of it, Joe. Okay, what's the question?
We're sitting here in April 1st, and everybody is saying, oh, man, Chris Paul still has it. Was there somebody saying he didn't in the offseason? Did anybody in the NBA think he was nearing the end of his road? Had anybody in the NBA not completely bought into the fact that this guy comes on your team, you get way better, way better? Didn't everybody know that?
I think they did. I mean, obviously, before last season with the Thunder, people thought, you know, he was maybe washed up a little bit and on the way down. And then he had a resurgent season, second team All-NBA, leads a, you know, not so great roster to almost a first-round playoff victory. So the thought around him and his value changed, and I think that's why instead of attaching assets to get off Chris Paul's contract, the Thunder got assets back, which was kind of an inconceivable thought after the Westbrook trade. So, I mean, I understand that every team wants him, but the Thunder's the way the Thunder was constructed, I think just the time was right to to make that trade, to make the Adams trade. You knew Gallinari was going elsewhere. You're building around a younger core, and you got assets back to take on Chris Paul in the first place, and then you flip him for even more assets. So I think it made the most sense.
Here's what I'm really asking. Wouldn't the Thunder have gotten more for Chris Paul?
What would he like if they would have held on to him and traded?
No. Whether they just don't trade him to Phoenix in October or September, whenever that was. Just get a bullhorn and go to the owner's meeting and say, we're trading Chris Paul. We're going to take the best off. I mean, you send him to a good team. He's going to, I mean, like Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia's good anyway. But you put him on the Sixers, they're winning the NBA championship. I don't care how many. I don't count how many All-Stars.
So you're saying instead of working with Paul and trading him to a place
To Phoenix, Just say, hey, Chris, we're going to send you to a good team that might win the NBA title. How do you feel about that? So, I mean, that's all I'm saying is.
Yeah, no, it's a good point because every
– Phoenix, if you knew how good this guy was, if Phoenix had any idea he was this good, they'd have offered a lot more.
They might have given you Mikal Bridges.
yeah. Who's really good, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I get mixed up on which Bridges is better.
It's this one. You watch
the one in Charlotte or the one in Phoenix. And I'm pretty sure it's the one in Phoenix after tonight.
Yeah. So that's a really good point, though, because most of the trades the Thunder makes, like, by the way, you know, trading George Hill, people ask, well, I don't know if that was, you know, the best return for George Hill. And my response is, well, it was, because that's the trade that happened. If there was a better offer out there, then George Hill would have been included in a different deal. But Chris Paul might be the one exception, right? Like, perhaps there could have been a better offer for Chris Paul. But I think Sam Presti cares or knows that it's probably in his best interest to work with one of the most powerful players and voices and president of the Players Association to work to get him to a good spot, especially with the time he put in with the Thunder and how he sort of set the standard, the new standard, and, you know, graciously accepted a place that he didn't really want to be. So I think that was definitely part of it. I know it's a different level of player, but like, look at the JJ Redick situation and how that's sort of blown up in the Pelicans' face. Redick has his own podcast. He said, hey, David Griffin said he was going to work with me, get me to a place I want to be. My kids are in Brooklyn. I want to be somewhere in the Northeast. And then they don't do that. They trade him to Dallas. Like, it totally different situation, but I think there's something to be said as far as like getting prominent players to spots they want to be, especially if it's a fair deal.
I agree. Chris Paul is sort of a special case. I just think, I mean, well, let me tell you, I know why they sent Paul George to the Clippers, because that's what Kawhi Leonard wanted. Chris Paul's a better player than Paul George, and I love Paul George.
Yeah, but George's value is better, just because, just when you look at his age, and I mean,
I'm not convinced that's true. He's 5 years older than Paul George, yes, but right now, he's still a better player.
Chris Paul is aging well. The plant-based diet, we should all maybe turn
to. Well, listen, I think I'll stick with a bunch of good old American beef and not be as rich as Chris Paul.
But it's the same here. I'm not worried about being a premier athlete at this stage.
Yes, but no, clearly the guy knows what he's doing. You might be right. 4 years from now, maybe Paul George is still an All-Star. Chris Paul's out of the league. All I'm saying is Chris Paul is still one of the 10 best players in the NBA. And the Thunder didn't really get top 10 value in that trade from Phoenix.
So are you fairly convinced that there was something better out there?
No, No, I don't know. No, and maybe not. Maybe Sam got the best he could get. But what I'm saying is, if I'm, it doesn't matter. I can't even remember now who had stuff to offer. But if I'm Philadelphia.
We talked about Milwaukee, Philadelphia, the Knicks, which didn't make sense from a competitive standpoint.
Right. But, yeah, no, Milwaukee was a good one. Yeah, Milwaukee, Chris Paul and Giannis together. I mean, our minds can't really figure out exactly what they could do together, what Chris could do to make Giannis greater. But let me tell you whose mind could. Chris Paul. Yeah. His mind could do that.
Well, you said the team that would have been awesome is Philly.
Whew. Oh, my goodness. That's why I kept saying, call them up and say, listen, send us Ben Simmons. We'll send you Chris Paul. We know there's an age discrepancy, so you can have any two first-round draft picks we've got. You name them. And if you're Philadelphia, I think you got to do it because I think it brings a – I think you're flying a flag in Philly in the next year or two. I don't know.
Philly could have done it. I don't remember what the cap sheets look like, but I think Philly could have done it without including Simmons. I mean, the Suns did it, and the only player the Thunder has from that deal is Ty Jerome. So, like, if, like, Tybull was in there or, you know, someone like that, I think, you know, if the money worked, they could have offered a similar – the Thunder only got one first-round pick. I say only one. They got, you know, more and then the swaps we've talked about from the Rockets, but one pick from the Suns. So, definitely Philly could have – they could have done it. Like, there would have been a deal out there, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's all I'm saying. And of course, Ben Simmons is my pipe dream. But you just said something that's interesting right there. I mean, basically, the Thunder got more for Russell Westbrook than they got for Chris Paul. I'm actually sort of a card-carrying member of the Westbrook fan club. But, golly. Is nobody in the league paying attention to what's going on? They got more for Steven Adams than they got for Chris Paul. I love Steven Adams, but
and look at George, they got George Hill in the Adams trade, and he turned into two more seconds. And they got Kenrich Williams in the Adams trade, and they got a pick in the Adams trade.
Yeah, it's just
it was the perfect deal that Phoenix could have done.
And here's the thing. Maybe this is not an indictment of Sam Presti. Maybe this is an indictment of the rest of the league. Maybe it's the rest of the league that needs to clue in.
I think it is. Also, I mean, it is hard to match that money. So, like, some of the – like the Lakers, it was pretty much impossible for them to
– Yeah, for the Lakers, I understand, because they're – you know, some teams are so top-heavy that – couldn't do it. But
no, but you're right. I think his age and his contract still scared teams off even after what he did with the Thunder.
But and my response is, yes, he's 35 and he's playing like he's 25 and has been for 10 years. You know, he went to Houston and they won 66 games in that first year. And then James Harden got his panties in a wad and they had to break it up. But
Paul did have injury issues, obviously, in Houston.
Yeah, he did that second year particularly. That was not good. But and then the $47 million, guess what? He's worth it. He's worth his paycheck. There's not any question about that. He was worth it last year in Oklahoma City. He's worth it this year in Phoenix. He's worth his paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, the Suns are second in the West right now, and – yeah, it's easy to say this, but without Chris Paul, I mean, what, they're a play-in team maybe or back into the West?
Yeah, they're about 1.5 steps ahead of Sacramento.
I mean, it's his value is immense, and we saw it firsthand what he can still do. And boy, he's still really, really good. I mean, it's there's probably a lot of GMs having the same conversation we're having right now. Like, did we miss something? Why didn't we, you know, pull the trigger on that?
Yeah. So I don't. It is an interesting situation.
And a big part of that. Scared. A big part of that, though, what really was the wanting to be closer to his family in Southern California, and I know Phoenix isn't right next door, but it gets him quite a bit closer than a Philadelphia would have got him.
Yeah. Sam works with these guys. He worked with Westbrook. He worked with Paul. My question is, and you know, it's
Paul George
for crying out loud. My question is this: you mentioned the Redick trade. He's upset with the Pelicans. He's, you know, sort of rips him for the way they didn't tell him the truth. He says they didn't treat him right. Blah blah blah. Sam, I think everybody around in NBA circles knows that Sam does treat the players well in that regard and does work with them to help them get where they want to go. Here's my question. What has that gotten Sam Presti, and what will it get Sam Presti?
Well, we might not know yet.
Well, yeah, and we might not ever.
We'll probably never know, but it's too early. Like those sort of like, I think down the road, if you're like convincing, if they're throwing three first round picks at some disgruntled star elsewhere or something like that, I mean, like maybe you build up that cachet and it helps convince a guy to stick around, and it doesn't sound hollow when you say, oh, we're going to take care of you, stuff like that. And like, I mean, obviously agents play a huge part in this, and getting their trust as well. I don't know. It's impossible for us to quantify, and maybe it doesn't ever do anything for you. I mean, it's hard in a small market. So, but it certainly doesn't hurt. And I think that's the main issue, is like, this could come back to bite the Pelicans. I'm not saying it will, but if you don't do that sort of stuff, there's no way the Thunder could say, oh man, I wonder if we shouldn't have done this.
Yeah. I don't know. It just strikes me as odd as all these trades that he's made that have been so great. The worst one was Chris Paul. That's what they got best back. And you brought up Adams. I hadn't even thought of Adams. That's exactly right. So to me, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. He played an NBA game tonight and didn't miss a shot. He's 8-8. You know what? My heart sank. Early in the game, second or third possession, he's dribbling and he goes, I think he went around the wing and went to the baseline and then went the baseline and came up through the lane. He didn't even look at the basket. He just dribbled back out. And I thought, oh yeah, that's the kind of thing he does. He just goes wherever he wants to. Wherever he wants to go, he goes.
There's not too many more shots is there than you feel more confident in than that elbow jumper from Chris Paul.
the Thunder stat crew, I think, needs to be investigated, because he shot like 47%, 48% last year. And none of us can remember more than 10 shots that he missed all year. And I think he was like really an 80% shooter, but they were screwing up the stats every game.
Yeah. His shooting splits are better.
What a player.
Better than they even are this year.
What a player he is. Yeah. What a basketball player he is. I hope they win the NBA championship. I hope they win the NBA title. Now, they're not going to, but I hope they do. Let me ask you another question. What do you think of DeAndre Ayton?
Well, he's gotten better. I don't love his game. I think they could use like a, you know, he's getting better defensively, but they could use a better rim protector. You know, people, I'm certainly not the first to mention this, but people say he likes to settle for fadeaways and stuff like that, rather than just being an animal near the rim. And like, he's so physically impressive. Like, it looks like he could just dominate guys inside, and he's not quite that physical yet. So I wish they had a more veteran established guy, but certainly, you know, he's their number one pick. They're building around him like they're building around Booker, but I don't know. He's probably not the third. I wouldn't say he's like the third star that you need when we talk about, you know, got to have three stars or something like that.
Yeah, his.
What do you think about it? Do you like him?
Well, I sort of like him, but he makes me think. I'm sitting there, you know, dealing with the Thunder draft prospects, and everybody wants them to lose so they can win the lottery, blah, 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 blah. Well, Ayton was the number one pick in a draft that was considered an excellent draft. Is that the kind of
player? He wasn't the right pick, by the way. Let's just
He wasn't, but he'd been third. If he wasn't first or second, he'd have been third, you know.
Yeah.
So he
was a consensus top three guy, probably top two in that draft.
Yeah. So the Thunder, we all want him to get four, you know, in the top five, because apparently there's five really great players. But what if the Thunder gets the third or second or fourth pick in the draft and he turns out to be about as good as DeAndre Ayton? That's one of the problems that I see
here
with the lottery game the Thunder's playing and that we're all playing.
If I'm playing make-believe GM, the one thing I really would try not to do if I had a top three pick would be to pick a big. Like, certainly some of them work. Joel Embiid, he worked out pretty well. Anthony Davis, he worked out pretty well. But, you know, you look at Ayton, he's going to be, you know, he could be a multi-time all-star. I don't know if he's ever going to be dominant. You look at Wiseman, you know, I don't know a ton about Mobley. I've watched USC in the tournament, and that's about it. But, gosh, I just look at those, you know, I'd much rather have, like, Cade Cunningham or Suggs than a big just because of the way the game's going right now. And it feels like you can just find serviceable bigs that'll help you. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just tough to build around those guys. It helps when you've got – someone like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a lead ball handler, but you're right. I mean, we've talked about the lottery a ton. We've talked about lottery odds. What if they pick 1 and 5? What if they pick, I don't know, 5 and 9 or some wherever they fall? Like, it's the best way to do it in a small market, but it's far from a guarantee. You wrote about like Cleveland earlier in the year, and we saw Orlando go through it. They picked high every year, and look where
Minnesota.
And they're tearing down again. Sacramento picks high every year, and look where they're at. So, and yeah, the Thunder's front office is better, but it's not a sure thing.
No, it's not a sure thing. So,
by the way, I can't kill the Suns for this. Jalen Smith got into the game today, but he was there. I think 10th overall, but. Golly, Halliburton. I just imagined Tyrese Halliburton on that team, and it would have been awfully fun to watch. Also, Phoenix was interesting at the deadline because, like, there was no rumors around them at all, and they didn't do anything. They kind of stood pat, and, I mean, they're playing well, but where do you – as far as, like, likelihood to win the West, are they behind – the Lakers and the Jazz to you, the Clippers, like where do you?
Oh yeah, I think they're clearly fourth, maybe fifth. When you get to the playoffs, as much as I love Chris Paul, I don't know if they can beat Denver. Pretty sure they can't beat the Jazz, the Lakers, or the Clippers.
Yeah, I think I might put them fifth as well.
So they're probably fifth. And you know, you play Portland, Damian Lillard, no telling what he's capable of. So it's a tough road. They're a team that's not terribly, to me, they're not terribly different than the Thunder of a year ago. Now, you can argue that they shoot better, and they probably do, but they may have one or two more weapons.
Yeah, it's
Saric coming off the bench, maybe, but it's not too dissimilar from the Thunder.
Yeah. I mean, Booker is more established than Shai was as a second year player.
Right.
But
they're not bringing anybody out like Schroeder.
No.
I mean, and And Gallinari is,
you know, Cam Johnson gives them that shooting like Gallinari kind of did. And I don't know. It's not like Aiton and Adams, like that's kind of a wash to me, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, no. I mean, they're clearly a little better because they've got a better record. But it's not – now, the Thunder, you know, could have been in the West semifinals pretty easy, but I think that it got rolled by the Lakers. What the Suns have done, though, is put themselves in position to contend. It's what the Raptors did 2 years ago. They weren't the best team in the league, but they just sort of, you know, they won that tough series with Philly, and then they pulled the upset of Milwaukee, and then the Warriors got all banged up.
Yeah.
Same.
What the Suns also did is like establish some sort of culture, even if that word's overused a ton, because they've got terrible ownership and they were, you know, not going anywhere fast. And like Chris Paul immediately makes them like a threat and at least respectable in the rugged West. And like without him, they're just not there yet. And that franchise like sorely needed someone like him.
Yeah, so it was a fun watching him play. I love watching the guy play. So
Booker was good as well in this one.
But Booker can play. There's no question about that.
He had 32, 11 of 20.
The Thunder just was overmatched. You know, the Thunder needed Dort out there to get in somebody's way, either Paul or Booker or somebody. But at least they got back on the losing track, and that's really what we're looking for.
Yes. Well, that was fun to talk about Chris Paul there. I enjoy talking about Chris and going over those like trade hypotheticals and all of the what ifs. That's a lot of fun covering him in Oklahoma City. Nice watching what he is doing for the Suns, who are 34-14 now. That's just incredible. 34-14. That's going to do it for us tonight. It's a quick turnaround. The Thunder is on the road again tomorrow night. That's Saturday night at Portland. Another late one. Try to bounce back from this difficult back-to-back. But thank you guys for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast, and we'll talk to you next.